Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Well, good morning. We're so glad you're here. You know, you can talk back. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Glad to have you here today. My name is Trey Kelly. I am the pastor here at Wellspring Church. If you're a guest, man, thank you so much for coming and just spending an hour with us. We really do hope you enjoy it. We hope you'll come back. Today, we are wrapping up a series that we began the year with, a series that we are calling Be the One. And if after today you kind of want to go back and understand a little better why we're talking about this and kind of what it means, we've got a website you can visit. It's wellspringchurch.tv/be the one. You can go there. You can find all our content. And if you've missed the last couple of weeks, I believe you're going to want to find the content, especially if you missed last week, because, man, last week was just... It was fantastic. And again, if you're a guest, for what we've been doing for the last couple of weeks is we've been focusing on a question as we start 2019, and we really believe it's a better question than what we normally ask as we start a year. And here's a question we've been asking. This year, whose life will be better because I chose to be the one to help? This is sort of a way to get us to think outside, think beyond ourselves. For those of us who are Christians, those of us who call Jesus our Heavenly Father, it's a way to identify with Him. This is a question He was always asking. Even if you're a guest today, even if you don't believe in God, this is a phenomenal question to ask because it really takes the focus off of ourselves and allows us to begin to see the world for what it is and to see some opportunities we might have in it. And so last week, we tried to help figure out how we can ask this question, how we can maybe identify who should we help, how should we help. And we ask a second question that we think drives the first question. And the second question is this. Second question is, what breaks your heart? When you look around your community, when you look around your neighborhood, when you look around your kids' school, when you look around our church, when you look around Horry County, what are the issues, what are the problems, what are the things that you desperately wish someone would solve? And maybe that someone might even be you. You think you have some ideas, but you're just not sure. And last week, if you were here, we watched a story of a family just like you who was sitting in a seat just like you several years ago when they heard this question. And what broke their heart where it was the foster system in Horry County, specifically the number of children without homes. And so they took a step. They took a step to become certified foster parents. And little did they know that what God had in store for them was for that to be a journey that ended with them adopting not one, not two, but three little boys. And some of you haven't made eye contact with your spouses since you watched that video. You mysteriously were called off to work this week. And the reason we showed that story, and the reason we're talking about this, and the reason we're encouraging all of us to ask this question and to try to be the one this year is because I know for a fact that family had no idea what God had in store for them when they took that first step. And I believe the same thing is true for all of us. And we said it this way last week. We have no idea what hangs in the balance of our decision to be the one to help. We have no idea. You have no idea what God might be ready to do in you, to you, and through you. And so I want to pick up right where we left off because there's this elephant in the room. There's this gnawing question we sort of have to address before we can move forward because make no mistake, our goal today is for all of us in this room to take a step towards being the one. To take a step towards putting yourself out there so you can help other people this year. And again, I know for some of you, since you saw that video last week, you haven't prayed, you haven't opened your Bible because you're horrified God's going to say, go adopt some kids. Like, that's just not how God works. But I also know some of you saw that story and here's a version of a conversation you've been having with yourself or maybe with your friends or maybe with your spouse or maybe with some other people. Hey, man, that's really great that God did that through that family. But see, they have blank, and I don't. See, God can't use me that way. I can't do that because I don't have. And then you fill that blank in however you'd like. I don't have the time. I don't have the money. I don't have the resources. I don't have the skills. I don't have the patience. I don't have the understanding. It's just this common thing that happens Anytime we see things going on around, especially if we believe in God and we think maybe God might be moving on us and wanting us to do something, the natural tendency is for us to always come back and say, that would be great if I had blank, and I don't. I don't have that, so I can't do this. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but just ask yourself in the last week, how many of you have had that thought? If you've thought about what we talked about at church, what we talked about last week, if you thought about what breaks your heart, you've talked about being the one, at some point you come to this place and you're like, well, that's fine and all, but I can't because I don't have this. And you may think I'm going to be like, shame on you, whatever. No, 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 no. If you felt that way, you are in tremendous company. Basically, every person who's ever wanted to partner with God to do anything in the world has felt exactly how you felt. When Jesus was on the earth, he had a 3-year ministry, and he had 12 men who were his best friends who were with him all the time. We call them the 12 disciples. The 12 disciples felt exactly how you feel. They felt like, man, I want to do what Jesus does, but I don't have blank. Now, to their credit, they had seen him walk on water, they had seen him perform miracles, and they'd seen him raise the dead. So they were kind of right, you know? I mean, who competes with that? Well, whatever. But see, here's the thing. To look at those ventures, to look at doing something for God, and to say, well, that would be great if I had blank. I don't have this. Is to fundamentally miss the reason Jesus came, and is to fundamentally miss his invitation to us. Jesus' invitation is for us to join him in an adventure, to join him in a mission, to join him in a movement. To join him in saying, hey, you see that thing? I see it too. Let's go make it better together. And I understand why you don't get that yet. Jesus' disciples didn't get that, and they had been with him every single day. And so what Jesus decided to do is he was always teaching them this, but he decided there was going to be one miracle where he was really going to kind of double down and make sure they got this. And so he did it through what is probably the second most famous miracle Jesus ever performed. It is only one of two miracles that are actually recorded in all four biographies we have of Jesus' life. We call them the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There are two miracles recorded in all four. One is the resurrection, which if you're familiar with Jesus, that's a pretty important part of his story. He died and he came back to life. The other one, there's only one other miracle recorded in all four biographies, and it is the account of Jesus feeding, you probably heard it, feeding the 5,000, right? That meant he fed 5,000 men, which means it was way more likely 10 to 15,000 because there's no way 5,000 men went to church without their wives and kids. There's just no way possible. So they were with him. And so it's this story of Jesus feeding. Now, again, if you grew up in church, if you have any idea about Sunday school, if you have any religious background at all, you've probably heard the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. But what you probably missed in that story is that Jesus was teaching a lesson. He was teaching a lesson to his disciples and through his disciples to us, which is especially poignant for us today as we're asking these questions about being the one, as we're asking these questions about what breaks our heart, as we're asking these questions about what might God want to do through me, and we're all struggling with this. I would do it if I had blank, but I don't have it. Because through this miracle, here's what Jesus teaches all of us, and it should be so encouraging to us today. Here's what he teaches. He teaches us that we have everything we need to do everything he wants. Let me explain why I say that. If you're not familiar with the story, Jesus and his disciples had been traveling around the region outside of Jerusalem and Galilee. They had been preaching around the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus was just, every time he'd preach, every time he'd heal people, these massive crowds would show up. These huge crowds would come out to hear from him because they wanted to know what he was talking about, and they wanted to experience his healing, and they wanted better for their lives. And so they were coming out. And so after one of these days, Jesus had been preaching all day long. He was exhausted, and this massive crowd was out there. So he kind of moves to another place, sort of kind of get away from the crowd, and the crowd won't leave. You know, they're like at a concert, and they're demanding like a third encore. They're like, we won't go. We won't go. And so Jesus is like, fine, I'll come back out. And so he does. He comes for an encore. That's what Jesus did. And this, again, this story is recorded in all four biographies of Jesus' life, but it's the account that we find in the book of John, which is the fourth biography. John was one of Jesus' best friends, closest disciples. It's in John chapter 6 that he records this story. And in his recording of the story, it reveals exactly what Jesus was up to. And my hope today as we walk through this story is that you will be encouraged, that you will find hope, and that you will be catapulted into whatever it is that God has planned for you. Because make no mistake, he has something planned for you. So if you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 6. That's where we'll be, John 6, starting in verse 5. And again, the disciples are kind of trying to leave the crowds. The crowds are following. They won't leave. And so we're told at the beginning of John chapter 6, verse 5, that Jesus saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. This massive people all looking for Jesus. He's standing with his disciples. He sees his massive people coming. And he turns to a man named Philip, and he asks him this question. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He just happened to sit there, and he looks at Philip. And now you may wonder, why did he ask Philip this question? Was Philip the chef? Was Philip the treasurer? No, they were in Philip's hometown. So he was trying to get, Philip was the first Yelp. He was just trying to get a recommendation. "Hey, Philip, where do you think we can go buy some bread?" And when he asks Philip this question, Philip heard it the way we all hear the question from God when he ever might want to be leading us to do something great for him. We hear it differently than he says it. Because what Jesus says, do not miss this. Jesus says, "Hey, where can we buy bread?" What Philip heard, he wants me to go buy bread. Jesus says, "Where can we buy bread?" Partnership, invitation. Philip hears, he wants me to go buy bread. You got a problem and you better solve it. You ever felt that way? Even when we've been talking about this series and you look around you and you see the things, Jesus is saying, "How can we go fix this?" And all we hear is he wants me to go fix this. See, there's a massive difference between me and we. Because when we hear me instead of we miss what Jesus is trying to say, which we know what Jesus is trying to say in the very next verse. He was testing Philip. That doesn't mean like testing his faith. He was teaching Philip. He was instructing Philip. Watch this. "For he already knew what he was going to do." Now listen to me. Jesus invited Philip into a we conversation, a we journey that Philip thought was a command for me to go fix it, when Jesus knew he had it handled the entire time. So whatever it is that breaks your heart, whatever that thing is, whatever that struggle is, Jesus is inviting you to a we moment. He is inviting you to a journey conversation where he's going to be with you. Your natural tendency is going to see it as a me moment. "Well, how am I going to do this? I don't have the resources. I don't have this. I don't have that." And the answer is we don't. But he does. And he knows what he is doing. Now, I understand that you don't get that yet. The disciples didn't get that either. But as we read this story, and as we hear what Jesus was doing, my prayer today is that you can be encouraged. And that thing that breaks your heart, this invitation from Jesus to a we experience, that you'll be able to take your focus off of the me lack and focus on what he can supply. Because he is better than me. But he desires a relationship with we. That's why he does it. That's why he invites us in. So I just want you to see what he does. It's so great. It's so great. So the first thing that happens is Philip reacts like you would react and I would react and we would all react. Here's what he says. Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them. 10 to 15,000 people, even at $2 a head, we're talking $20,000, $30,000 for one meal to feed it around. Most people don't have $20,000 or $30,000 laying around. Anybody got $20,000 or $30,000 just laying around? That was a test. If you raise your hand, we're going to talk to you afterwards. You passed. But no, Philip immediately says, what is the universal response to being invited by God to do something great with him? Philip says, we don't have enough. See, that's really the problem, is it? It isn't that I don't have blank. It's that I don't have enough blank. I have some money. I don't have enough money. I have some experience. I don't have enough experience. I have some patience. I don't have enough patience. I have some resources. I don't have enough resources. This is the universal response. Be honest. When you think about what breaks your heart, and when you think about being the one of the things you say over and over and over and over is, well, I don't have enough. I don't have enough time to do that. I don't have enough energy to do that. I don't have enough experience to do that. I don't have enough expertise to do that. But remember, Jesus invited Philip into this moment, and he knew what he was going to do. But he wasn't just teaching Philip a lesson. He was teaching all of his disciples a lesson, and through his disciples, teaching us a lesson. So Philip responds, yeah, we don't have enough. At this time, two other brothers speak up, also from the same hometown, Andrew and Simon Peter. Specifically, it was Andrew. We're told that then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, he speaks up. Andrew and Simon Peter, again, also from the same hometown. They saw their boy Philip going down. They're like, we're going to help him. And here's what they say. They say, there's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. So what we think had happened is that this little boy was probably friends with Andrew and Simon Peter. Again, they're in their hometown, so the little boy was kind of getting some VIP access, and so he's hanging out with Jesus, and he thinks it's the coolest thing in the world, and he hears them talking about, we don't have enough. He hears Philip say, we don't have enough food, and he had some food. He had this tiny little lunch that his mom had probably made him, 5 little, not even loaves of bread. They're more like little biscuits, about this big, about 5 of those. He had probably 2 little sardine-sized fish, and that's what he was going to eat. And he wasn't old enough to understand that's not enough to solve this problem. He was old enough to know God needs something. I'm going to give him all I have, and let's see what happens. And so he had gone to Andrew and Simon Peter, and he was like, hey, guys, you can have my lunch if that'll help. And Andrew and Simon Peter, they were just trying to be cool dudes. You know, they were like, oh, that's so sweet. The baby would be with a little kid. But make no mistake, Andrew and Simon Peter did not think it would work. Because here's what Andrew says. But what good is that with this huge crowd? This little boy had heard that God needed something. This little boy had offered God everything he had. And the followers of God's response was, that's cute, but that ain't enough. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that your heart is right and you want to do something and you want to take a step, but someone told you, that's cute and all, that's not enough? That's not even going to make a dent in the problem. And let me help you. They were right. They had a 15,000 person problem, and they had a 5 loaves and 2 fish solution. But what they forgot was that they had been invited into a wee mission that he was ready to solve. And so Jesus takes this moment to say, okay, it's time to teach you guys who you're dealing with. It's time to show you guys you're partnering with me. And when you partner with me, Andrew, when you partner with me, Simon Peter, when you partner with me, Philip, you always have enough. So here's what Jesus says. Tell everyone to sit down. And I'm sure the disciples were like, wait, what now? But he keeps going. Tell everyone to sit down. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000 is how we know, 10 to 15,000. Jesus keeps going. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish. He prays, and he just starts handing out food. And he keeps handing it out, and he keeps handing it out, and he keeps handing it out. I was thinking about that this week, and I haven't seen the new Mary Poppins, but remember the original Harry Poppins, where she just keeps pulling stuff out of the bag? Remember that? Well, they got that idea from Jesus, because he was the one who did it first. And so he was just handing out food. Look it up. He did. And so just handing out the food. And watch this. 10 to 15,000 people, and they all ate as much as they wanted. No one had to ration. They ate and they ate and they ate as much as they wanted. Watch this. And afterward, after everyone was full, these people who hadn't eaten all day, after everyone was full, these people weren't on keto. They were going. You know, no Whole 30 going on here. Like, let's eat. Everyone had eaten. Jesus told his disciples, now gather the leftovers so nothing is wasted. They didn't think they had enough. And Jesus gave them more than they needed. See, there's a promise given to us by God through this man named Paul in his book, in his letter to the church at Ephesians. And he's talking about Christians and he's praying for us. And he's praying that we will be able to understand the glory and honor of God's love. And he says, to him who is able to do more than we could ask or imagine. That is who we partner with. That is who says, hey, that thing that breaks your heart, what if we partnered together to go solve that? Hey, that thing that's bothering you, what if we got together and we went and fixed it? And you say, God, I don't have enough. He says, you don't have enough. You have me, and I'm able to do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine. I'm going to do more than you think is possible. I'm going to supply more than you need. And just so the disciples got it, just to make sure they fully understand what had happened, Jesus gives them this little picture to end this story. So they picked up the pieces. They went around picking up leftovers, and they filled 12 baskets with scraps. 12 baskets that were left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. Now, you don't have to be a religious scholar to know this, because I've already said it a couple times today. How big was Jesus' inner circle, the followers, the disciples that were his closest that he used to launch? How many were there? There were 12. Each of them had a basket in their hand. Each of them had a physical, tangible, undeniable proof and evidence that they were partnering with a man that could do more than they'd ever thought possible. And these are the same men that went out to change the world. Wellspring, the reason we want you to be the one, the reason we want you to take a step, the reason we're so encouraging you to this year to try to use what you have to do what God wants you to do, is because there's no replacing that basket of leftovers when it's over. There's no replacing that tangible evidence that God used you to do immeasurably more than you could ask or imagine. So I say again, what breaks your heart? What is it God might be moving in your heart to do this year? What is the place where you say, I don't have enough this, I don't have enough that? And what would you do if you embrace the truth of this teaching? How would your life be different if you embrace the idea that we have everything we need to do everything he wants? Well, let's try it. Let's ask again. Let's ask the same question we've been asking. What breaks your heart? What is it? Now imagine that God's inviting you into it and that he has a solution and that he's equipped you to take a step. The disciples didn't think they had anything. They had 5 loaves. They had 2 fish. And they handled everything. They handed everything they had to Jesus, and he fed 10 to 15,000 people. So you don't just stop with what breaks your heart. You have to ask another question. And the question is this: what's in your hand? What do you currently possess that you could use to pursue the solution you're looking for? And again, it's not even as complicated as you think. What do you like doing? What are your gifts, strengths, talents, and abilities? What are the things you enjoy? What are the things that you've thought, well, that's nice, but God could never use that. I could never use that I could never offer that to him. How do you know that? The God of the universe has uniquely created you with different skills, strengths, talents, and abilities because he wants to what? Partner with you to change the world. That's a promise directly from him to us. And our job as your church, or if you're a guest today, what we hope will become your church, is to come alongside you to create systems, to create supports, so that you feel the freedom and the courage and the just absolute desire and understanding of how to take that step. We want to walk with you. We want to partner beside you. Last week, we saw this story, right? This amazing story of this family who took this step. And they've been a part of our church for a long time, and they were supported. And they used what they had in their hands, and they pursued what broke their heart, and God used them to change lives. Now, what you didn't know as you were watching that story last week, or as you'll watch it this week, is there was another person who chose to be the one. And it's the person who made that video. It's the person who partnered with our church to tell that story so God could move on your heart so that you could take a step. And all that person did was simply use what was already in his hands. That video was made by a freshman in college, and his name is Kyle. And as early as he can remember, he loved making movies. Never imagined that that could be used for God. But he used what was in his hands, and God did more than he could ask or imagine. In fact, I'll let Kyle tell you his story.
My name is Kyle Dion. I currently go to school at the Savannah College of Art and Design in Atlanta, Georgia. I am a film student at SCAD.
This is what it takes for SCAD students.
All right,
ready? Action.
I was certified in video production and television broadcasting right out of high school at the Academy, right by International Drive. When I was, I would say, 8 years old, my parents gave me their old 8mm video camera. And instead of going outside playing with the neighbors in Las Vegas, because it was kind of sketch, I stayed inside and played with like my action figures and Legos, and I would build little Lego cities and sets and then film my own stop motion short films. That was the most fun I had as a child. It truly was. And so growing up, I always knew there was many things I wanted to do. And my mom always told me that whatever it is I chose to do, that I would be great at it. And film, the enjoyment it brought to me as a child, and then also being able to work on that at a larger scale in my high school years and actually directing a group of people and creating our own productions was something that I enjoyed so well and knew that there was plenty of work out there for it. But also just the side of being able to tell people's stories. It's visual storytelling is what it is. And a lot of films are based on true stories, but for great reason. You know, there's lots of stories to be told in the real world. And I think some stories go more unheard than told. And with film, you're able to reach such a mass amount of the population. And if you can tell a story that will, you know, bring light or just evoke any sort of emotion, you know, film is a huge platform to do that with. I started going to Wellspring when I was in high school. I eventually became part of the production team, and I started gaining experience with live production, video production, with TJ Goff, and being on sets, filming interviews, and just being under, you know, his wing and being able to capture real life stories with people in Myrtle Beach and seeing how people's stories can affect other people, real people within the church itself, was just something so mind-blowing and so amazing to just watch happen. Seeing how, you know, one video can change someone's whole perspective on life or just a certain part of life that God could very well use to fulfill a calling in somebody's life. And being able to be a part of making and creating those productions has been one of the best feelings, and being able to serve in that light with my own gifts and talents that I've always had the passion to use has just been the biggest blessing of my entire life. In particular, being able to film this story with the Parker family. The Parkers have been some of my nearest and dearest friends for the past few years, being in Myrtle Beach and being a part of their family. Watching them foster and adopt three amazing children has been such a journey to watch for them, but also for me as well. Just being able to tell their story with this full production and being able to show it to Wellspring Church, I think is one of the coolest concepts that's ever been brought to me. Through Wellspring Church, there's so many ways to serve. There's so many ways to be a volunteer to help out, and so many ways to use your own gifts and talents to serve God and others. Being a film major and wanting to pursue this with my life, this is my passion. And to see that God can use that to change somebody's life, I think, is one of the most powerful things you can do in life. I want to encourage you to use your gifts and talents and your passions to be the one to change somebody else's life.
So, what's in your hand? What do you have? What do you enjoy? What maybe have other people said, hey, that's not enough. Hey, that's not valuable. That's not worth it. What is that thing that you could offer? Because that just might be the thing God wants to use to do immeasurably more than you could ask or imagine. And as I said, our church is designed to support that. We want to help you. And we know for some people that requires conversations. That requires kind of kicking the tires and figuring things out. So today out in our lobby, we have all our leaders in all our volunteer areas. Because what you don't know is there are people every single week at our church who use what they have to do more. They help park cars. They open doors. They help make sure you find a seat. They run sound and lights. They make sure everything happens up here. They take care of your children. All volunteers, all people who are just simply saying, hey, here's what I have. Here's what I like doing. Here's what I'm invested in. I want to give this to God. I want God to use this because I believe that through this place and what he's doing here, he can do more than we can ask or imagine. Maybe what breaks your heart's out in the community. We have multiple community partners that we can connect you with, or you can help us expand what they're doing. We really do want to be in service and in partnership with you and to further what it is that God is moving on your heart to do. And my number one goal today was to simply remove one obstacle. The obstacle that we all believe, and the obstacle that's not true. The obstacle of saying we don't have enough. Because the message of that story and the message of partnering with Jesus is this. We have everything we need to do everything he wants. So what do you want? What step can you take today? Go have some conversations with our volunteer leaders. Go sign up to serve in some different areas. Try to figure out where you might fit. Go take that skill, that gift that you felt like no one could use, and offer it. And see what God can do. We are committed to 2019 being a year where at the end we look back. And we have a basket full of leftovers. We have a basket full of moments and experiences where we can hold on to for the rest of our lives and know not only did God come through, not only did God deliver, God did more than we could ask or imagine. There is nothing that grows your faith. There is nothing that secures your hope in him like knowing that our God gives more than we deserve. That is who he is. That is who we as your church want to be, and that is what we want to put you towards. So again, as we wrap up today, and as we look forward to the rest of 19, the question remains. This year, whose life will be better because I, because you, because we chose to be the one to help? Let's pray. God, we love you so much. We are just so thankful for your goodness, for your kindness, for your mercy, for your love. We are so thankful that you invite us in to this mission. You invite us in to join you. You invite us in to participate. And you assure us that you are fully in charge. So God, let's pray right now as we wrap up, as we move forward to think about the rest of 19, God, I pray that you will calm our hearts and clear away any fears, any doubts, any beliefs that we don't have enough. And God, I beg you that instead of that, you will fill us with the assurance of knowing that you are with us and that you are fully capable of doing immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. God, this year may we have the privilege of being the one. Being the one of making sure someone else's life is better. We love you. We thank you for your son. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.